Gorgeous Escapes. So hello and welcome to Gorgeous Escapes, and I'm here with the most wonderful, beautiful, sexy travel writer and broadcaster, Sarah Tucker. Hi, how are you?
Hello, what a wonderful introduction.
That was really good.
That was really lovely.
Now, just to let you know that the two things we're going to be talking about today are, number one, they're going to be, you booked the holiday, you just about bought the flights, you've done it all yourself, but then it's like, how the hell do I get to the airport? Where do I stay? Do I stay the night before? Is it a better car parking, okay? Other thing we're going to talk about is such a new trend is private holidays. You went on one called Private Malta. We'll hear about that in a minute, but let's just talk about, we booked the holiday, we booked the ticket. What do we do if it's 5 a.m. at Stansted?
Well, I've been a travel journalist and broadcaster now for about 20 years, and I've been to many airports, and I have always, without exception, made a big mess up of parking. It's one of those things that I've forgotten, and as I've got there, I've thought, oh, I need somewhere to park for 2 days, 3 days, or even in one case, a fortnight. And if you leave it to you actually get there, you pay a fortune. And it's one of those things, it's a bit like currency. Do not pay for it when you actually get there. You've got to pre-plan and pre-book. And I think over the years, there's been a lot of programmes like, you know, Holiday Watchdog and a lot of BBC and ITV programmes that's researched into the different charges that specific airports charge for their parking, both on-site and off-site, and whether the off-site parking is worth it. And in one case, you know, if those off-site parking places are easy to find. A couple of years ago, I was actually on my way to Heathrow, and I'd done a very good thing. I'd pre-planned my parking, I'd paid for it, and I could not find the car park. And I had a map and I had directions, and I still couldn't find it. And in the end, because I had a flight to catch, I ended up going to another car park, paying a fortune, and actually complaining to this other car park, getting my money back. But it was very, very frustrating because I had to pay a lot more, and I felt I'd already done the business. So basically.
And you got on board grumpy, wound up, and very late, which is not what you want.
Well, yes, I think there's a lot. I'm not alone. I think a lot of people are like this. When I started to research into the whole concept of airport parking, you know, there's a lot of money that has been made. There's a lot of variations now. You can do a lot of meet and greets. You know, you can actually arrive at the airport, somebody takes your keys, they can park.
That's really nice. That's called valet parking.
Valet parking and valet parking meet and greet. They all have their different names. And again, research has been done into that, whether, you know, how secure your car is while it is away. If it's in a secure place, is there CCTV? Is it being looked after?
Have you heard a bad story about that?
Well, I personally haven't, but when I was researching this, there were a few companies that put trackers on the car to see whether the car was being given for a joyride. I always remember that scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off where they parked one of the kids' Ferraris in a car park, and they thought it would be safe. And they went on a joyride, and the people who were looking after it went on a joyride with it for the rest
of the
day.
I think I would if I had a Ferrari, wouldn't you?
Well, but you know, it's that sort of story. I think if I had a Ferrari, I'd leave it at home and just take the taxi. But
you're going in a private jet, darling.
Well, exactly.
RadioGorgeous.com.
And so I researched into it, and there's this company called APH. It is one of many parking companies who are family owned, and I found them to be the best and the cheapest. I think if you have a look at compare.co.uk and all the different sort of like websites that compare prices for absolutely everything from travel insurance, and they also do things like airport parking, they come out really well, and in some cases half the price that the others do. But it's not just a case of that, it's a case of...
Are they all UK airports?
They're all UK airports. Mm. Stansted, Gatwick, Heathrow. Mm. Some of the airports, they have meet and greet, some of them do not. Some of them have affiliate hotels as well, so you can book a hotel and you can book the car park, the parking as well. Mm-hmm. But I tested them out, and the thing I found that out of all the parking places I discovered, they were all extremely friendly, very fast, absolutely no fuss.
Could you find the car park, like you said?
Well, it was interesting.
Where were you going, by the way?
I tested the ones out in Heathrow and Gatwick. Mm-hmm. And the ones in Heathrow, interestingly, I had a meet and greet there, and I was due to meet the guy from the company along one lane, and it wasn't their fault, but I drove up the wrong lane. And they all have very, 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 very specific lanes where you drop it off, and if you drop it off if you go into the wrong lane, they get really, really cross with you. And I think a lot of these companies, what they need to do is make sure the directions are suitable for a 5-year-old. You've got to make them really, really simple, because holiday makers are really stressed. They've got to remember the car, they've got to remember the currency, they've got to remember their kids, they've got to remember their luggage, they've got to remember the tickets, they've got to remember the passports, they've got to remember an awful lot of things, they've got to make sure that they've locked up, they've got to make sure that the pets are all safe. It's just another thing to remember. And the simpler you can make it for them, the better. Like I stayed, when I went to Gatwick, I stayed at a very nice hotel, which is about 5-10 minutes from the airport, and had a very, very early flight. And it was like a 3-minute drive to the parking place.
In one of their minibuses? Or?
I drove from the hotel to the parking place, dropped the car off there. Yeah. But the signage, and I know, and because I gave them feedback, I said the signage from one side was really good, and it's excellent because it's just behind a huge petrol station. So if you park out and you've literally run out of, you know, you're low on petrol, which usually you are actually by the time you get to the airport, sometimes you do that. I think that's excellent, but it should be signposted well on one side as well as the other side, because if you drive past it the wrong way, you're not going to see it. And also, I was driving there about sort of like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, which I think a lot of people do who use this sort of parking, and it needs to be very well lit. So I think the signage and directions need to be absolutely spot on.
But then is it one of those ones where you have to wait and be collected?
If it's not meet and greet, yes, you do have to wait to be collected, and I think again with that company, as soon as basically when you're on the plane, you give them a call as soon as you sort of like get off the you get out the door basically,
as soon as they let you under your seatbelts, that's when I start texting.
Yeah, that's really what you should do. Yeah. And if you say sort of I'm ready now, it will be there by the time you actually go to the place. Mm. So. There's a lot of different car parks. They've all got their sort of like, they're on, you know, very, very close. And I remember thinking on many occasions, I don't know when the bus is going to turn up. It could break down. Lots of worry things. Mm. And sort of this off-air, off-site.
Also, I feel like I'm miles away. I hate the idea, but I feel miles away from the airport.
Well, I think this is why the meet and greet is really, really good. Mm. Because if you're going to be that worried, I think just paying the few extras, it's usually about £20 or £30 more you pay for a meet and greet.
But if it's whatever. A family of four, then that's okay, isn't it?
I definitely think now, looking at from a the stress level point of view, I think the meet and greet will grow. Yeah. The interest in that will grow, because it's not like getting an economy class ticket and a first class ticket. The difference is astronomical. With something like parking, the difference between meet and greet, APH are doing a special deal at the moment, spring deal, if you want a week parking in Gatwick. Well, it's about 35 quid at the moment. But if you want a meet and greet there, it's about sort of like 45-50 quid. So it's not that much more. Yeah. For having a sort of a meet and greet. So
now, you know what's happened to me is twice got back in the middle of the night and I can't find my car. You go to this, you get on the bus, you arrive and you think, where the hell did I park it?
That's very interesting. That's happened to me as well. And I sort of like, when you've had so much going on, I used to, when I got my ticket, I used to write down, if I could find a pen, sort of like, I'm in aisle D, stopping off point 67 or something like that, especially at Stansted when it got really, really large. And if you were away for a long, long time, the bus, you know, it was stopped off at your particular stop, you know, that was the last one. I think the key is always to write things down. Also, I know it sounds a silly thing, but it does happen to people. If for whatever reason you've come back off holiday and your cards have been stolen or you don't have enough money to pay, if you haven't paid, you haven't pre-booked and you've got to pay it sort of like when you actually come out, if for example, if you've just arrived and you haven't pre-booked and you don't have enough money, they will take your details and they will give you 24 days to pay. Nice. So
it's obviously happened to you.
It has happened to me. But I just thought that was a really good tip, because just in case it is, and there's absolutely no fuss, and they're really civil about it. And actually, it happens to a lot of people, not just to a travel writer and broadcaster.
Brilliant. Now, as I said, you're looking long, lean, tanned, and gorgeous. And you've just got back from Malta, and you've just had a new experience.
Well, that sounds very interesting, isn't it? Where you put it,
Radio Gorgeous. Podcasts for women.
Well, this is going to sound even more interesting. I think they should call it so that's strictly private. And if you want to have a look on the Radio Gorgeous website, I'm going to write about it and post some really lovely photos. But I was talking to you earlier about how everything is very cyclical in finance, in fashion, in food, in absolutely everything. And I think the same goes for travel, although the travel industry at least tends to learn from its mistakes, whereas I think with other things like, you know, finance, we tend to pay for that.
Fashion, we don't learn from our
mistakes. We don't. But I think with travel, we do. And I remember sort of like when travel started, it was sort of starting off with these homely little bed and breakfasts where people were offering bed and breakfasts in their homes, and then the big hotel chain started, and we were
Trust House Forte.
And we were very confident. We knew what we were getting. It was a bit like the McDonald's of. And I'm talking burgers here, I'm not talking hotels of big branding. It managed expectations brilliantly. You knew whether you were going to a hotel in Manchester or Birmingham or London. Exactly the same. Then we got sick of the homogenised blandness of it all, and boutique became very, very fashionable. And then you got the hotel, the books like Johansson's and small luxury hotels, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith popularised the boutique, sexy places, that hotels that allowed you to feel a bit more like a person rather than just a number. Then you got, after that, you got bespoke, everything's that from the bespoke holidays. So you got what you wanted.
Yeah, tailor-made.
Which may not necessarily have been tasteful, but it was, if you wanted something, be it sort of the Burj Al Arab and loads of bling in Dubai, or a very small intimate boutique hotel to sort of like a yurt, a luxury glamping, you got it. The thing that's very much going to be a trend that's going to grow in 2015-2016 is this whole craving for being away home from home. Now, we've started to see it a bit with companies like Homestay and Airbnb, where you can stay, again, in people's homes and have bed and breakfast. There's a lot of that going about, especially in London.
All because of the internet, and all because people want a good deal. And you're allowed to leave your knickers in your drawer, which is so attractive to people, because that's the stress, isn't it, about renting out, that you've got to make your home immaculate.
It is. Well, this is again something slightly different, because in Malta, and it's starting in Malta, and I think this has potential to go global. A company called Beyond 360 is organising these 3 to 4 day trips, which allow people to see the homes of people who live in Malta, who've been living in Malta mortar over generations, and to be shown round their homes by the homeowners. You either can have lunch with them or supper with them. It's very intimate. It's a bit like I'd liken it to being a bit like on a tour within Night at the Museum, where it really makes the history come alive in a very unusual, unusual and interesting and eclectic way. Like I was there, I've just come back for 3-4 days, and the first couple of days I was at the home of a gentleman called Robert Strickland, and the Strickland family, the sort of like the newspaper there. It's a very interesting house, not only because the Queen is going to visit in November, and she's a good friend of Robert Strickland, and she's going to be visiting the house when she was there with Prince Philip before she was crowned. She wanted to buy the house, and the owner wouldn't let her buy the house. It must be very difficult to refuse the Queen. But
she was only a princess then.
She was only a princess then, yes. But and you can walk around the house with Robert, and he talks to you about the history of it, about his aunt Mabel, who was a formidable woman. She, you know, makes Margaret Thatcher look like a complete fairy. You know, you have like an afternoon noon with this man walking around the gardens in the house, and you could spend a lifetime, or certainly a week.
Okay,
just with
so
him.
That's seeing the high end of Malta, but what about seeing the kind of, I dare say it, peasants? You know, because not everybody in Malta's the Stricklands.
Well, I think
I want to see real working peoples.
I think with this particular tour, and I think this is what is really good about it, you do see a contrast. Mm. Like we had, we went to another home which is owned by, his name called Michael. Michael's home, absolutely beautiful. A lot of the Maltese houses, stone built, have that beautiful ochre stone, and they have courtyards in the middle, open courtyards.
Araby, yeah.
Very Araby. Mm. If you've been to a Riyadh in Marrakesh, it's very, very similar. They have rooms off the main courtyard. Very beautiful. But all the houses, whether they're very poor houses or they come from aristocracy, are very well furnished, but all very different. I think in the tour, if you went to one house which was very similar to the next, to the next, to the next, it'd be very boring and they would merge all into the same. But I think it's been very, very well thought out to have really contrasting, not only contrasting design and decor, but also owners as well. Like as I mentioned, this guy, Michael, he had three cats. Now you have cats, but these cats are huge. They're size of lynxes, and he has a big dog as well. And he tells stories about the cats and about the people who visited the house and about how one of the cats died because he fell off the roof. And
it's terribly personal.
It's very intimate, and I think it's that intimacy. It's just like going from, literally, you're reading a book, a very interesting book about somebody's life, and then you go to another very interesting book about somebody else's life. But it's as I said, it's like Night at the Museum.
So, how many people were there in the group?
In the maximum you can get within a group is 10, 8 to 10. And I think, the tours are going to probably be themed. They're starting off in Malta, but it's based around, you don't actually stay in any of the homes. You stay at the Corinthia Palace Hotel, which is very central and which has a lot of history in itself. It was formerly owned by the de Bono family, Edward de Bono, the psychologist. They are called this one's called Private Malta. And the thing to do is just look on the Corinthia.com website. Further details will be on it. And I will be putting more details, actually, on the website.
Well, I can't wait for going round your house in Richmond.
I won't let Eddie know. No, too many knickers out of drawers in my house in Richmond. Thank you very much. No. But I think it's an excellent idea, one that will grow. The people, they are storytellers. They are born storytellers, and it's
and they want to share.
They want to share, and the 3 to 4 days will go very quickly. Like I just quickly say, we want one of the lunchtimes. We want a boat on a yacht, and Valletta Harbour is absolutely stunning. You've got some absolutely stunning yachts there, much prettier than Nice or Saint Tropez, and we want a yacht which was owned by an Italian coffee magnate, and it was wonderful. In fact, it was very hot there, and I obviously held the champagne glass for too long because I burnt the tops of my hands. Yeah,
From holding champagne on an Italian's yacht. You've got a great life. Thank you so much for sharing it on Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much, Jo.
Thank you, Sarah Tucker. And for more information, go to our website, radiogorgeous.com. This has been a Radio Gorgeous production, 2015, produced and presented by Josephine Pembroke, edited by Anna Palinkas.